welcome to the Business Power Hour hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about working with professionals to show them how to use the tools that are out there to make the most success out of themselves and their business. And today we're going to have a lot of fun because it's a little bit different that we're going to be talking about, but I promise you it will all tie in, and we're going to have a ton of fun with my guest today. So please join me in welcoming Anthony M. Drago to the program.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Oh, doing fabulous, fabulous. So let me tell folks just a little bit about you before we jump into this. So Anthony Drago is irrevocably committed to guiding today's youth to achieve personal and professional leadership skills, an anti-bullying culture, and becoming the best athlete they can possibly be so they can be role models for future generations. Anthony has over 20 years of physical training and personal development experience. He has worked with some amazing people and players with similar concerns and worries and guided them to achieve remarkable success. His mission and commitment is to mentor, train, and develop today's youth using the vehicle of basketball to build their mind, body, and skills while preparing them to become leaders and to take what they learn on the court and apply it to their lives off the court. So again, Anthony, welcome.
Thank you very much. It sounds a lot different when someone else tells about you. So
I know. It's always fun when you hear your own bio. It's like, oh. As I mentioned at the start of the program, you know, you're an expert in basketball and you work with youth. And my program is for business people. But the cool thing is it all ties together. You know, the skills that you use in basketball, the skills that you use, you know, that you're teaching our youth are also skills that you can use as an adult and or as a business owner, you know, some things like that. So that's what fascinated me so much about talking with you, because it does all tie together, you know, so first let's just jump in. How did you get started in doing this?
Well, I'm going back several years. I mean, I'm going back into the 90s now. I was in the U.S. Coast Guard. And upon leaving, I realized a few things. One is I didn't really want to listen to people who were in positions of authority that didn't belong there.
Right.
And I wanted to help people. I mean, that was always a big thing. In the Coast Guard, I got introduced into the personal development, which, you know, the Tony Robbins, the Les Browns,
right. Mm-hmm.
guys of that nature. And it made me understand that I could control the way I thought, the way I felt, and the way I can interact with people and help people. So mm-hmm. that kind of got me started on the path. I'd done multiple things, stockbroker. I was, you know, in the whole boiler room aspect. If you've seen that movie. I've done all that kind of stuff. I've done network marketing. And it always kept coming back to helping people, you know, personal development and working with basketball, since I've been playing basketball for over 30 years.
Right.
So it kind of gave me an in into bringing the personal development along with the, you know, the helping of kids and kind of targeting the youth, because that's pretty much my focus now, because, you know what's going on with the youth today, where it's like in a downward spiral with the way the world is going with the youth today. Mm-hmm. And I just see basketball as a vehicle to be able to teach life lessons to kids,
right.
and not only to the kids, but to the parents more importantly, because they're the ones who go home with the kids, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, and I'm a huge sports fan, especially college sports, but I started playing basketball, oh, good golly, when I was in fourth grade. We actually started having competitive basketball in fourth grade, and I tell you, we kept score. None of this, you know, hoo-ha with, you know, everybody wins. No, we kept score. But, you know, we did learn at a very early age the importance of teamwork and about how you need to continually and hone your skills and update them. And that really is what your business is about.
Oh, 100%. And I am so against the participation trophies. It doesn't teach kids anything, and it doesn't teach the parents anything. The kids don't get a chance to fall down and get back up and have to try to work harder. You know, growing up for me, if I went to the park, I would get to the park where everybody played, all the good players played, and I'd have to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning just to get on the court. And if you lost, you'd be off for 2 or 3 hours because you wanted to play in the good court. And the next morning, if you didn't win, the next morning I'd be there even earlier, like 4 o'clock in the morning, shooting, working on my game to try to get better to showcase what I can do. But that doesn't exist anymore. These, you know, the participation trophies, everybody wins just for showing up. And that's not the way sports works. And that's not the way life works.
Right. Right. You know, and you're right. It is not how life works. And that's one of those things that now, I will admit, raising my hand here, I'm not a parent. So, you know, we always have to, you know, I always have to do that disclaimer. But, you know, when we teach our youth, and whether it's, you know, fourth graders or college students or whatever, that, you know, you get that participation trophy, then they go into the workplace and it's a cruel shock. You know, because they aren't patted on the head for doing halfway work or just showing up. You know, exactly. They might last for a little bit there, but they're not going to get promoted. They're not going to go far until they actually really work at it.
Right. You're 100% right. And that's what's missing. And that's what I'm trying to bring back to the community, where I'm in the process now of trying to facilitate clinics where it's parents and children, not only basketball clinics, but personal development seminars as well, mm-hmm. where the kids and the parents can kind of learn together and grow together, set goals mm-hmm. together, and understand what each is going through. Even though, you know, most of the parents just bring the kids there, they drop them off, they look at right. their phones, and they're not paying attention. But I'm trying mm-hmm. to bring them in and incorporate them into it. That way they understand the power of what we're trying to do.
Right. Well, and you know, I love that you also incorporate anti-bullying, because sports sometimes can trend into that bullying thing where it's the, you know, you're stupid, you lost, or, you know, you can't play because you're too short or too fat or, you know, whatever. So how do you combine that anti-bullying message with what you're trying to teach?
Well, the biggest thing that we do is when I work with basketball trainers. I don't teach the actual basketball skills. What I do okay. is I teach the personal development aspect and the proper body mechanics, speed, agility, and quickness.
Okay.
So what I do is I'll partner with basketball trainers, go in, and we do clinics, kind of like a mind, body, and skills clinic, where we start off with personal development. And the personal development, to me, is the most important part, because that's honestly, in my opinion, is the anti-bullying program in and of itself.
Right.
Because if you get kids to believe in themselves and feel good about themselves and looking at all the goods and situations and what they're focusing on and what they're saying and how they're interacting with people, it changes the way they do everything. So mm-hmm. we start off with that. Then we get into the body mechanics and, you know, how to move their bodies properly. And then we go into the basketball skills. But we always start off with the personal development. And right. I've had the parents come up to me afterward and been like, that's been amazing. I took out papers and started writing down things. And that's kind of what triggered the idea for me to want to do parent and kid clinics. Because if we can get mm-hmm. the parents involved, you know, and they go home, you know, I'm not trying to have the, you know, the kids be, you know, the guru, so to speak, to the kids.
Right.
I want
mm-hmm.
them to go home and work with their parents and want mm-hmm. to come for the experience, as opposed to because they don't know what they're doing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right. It does. You know, and I love that you get the parents involved, because you know, they might be practicing basketball, and obviously it depends on, you know, their skill level and all that, you know, an hour a day, an hour a week, whatever, but there's an awful lot of time that they are at home. And, you know, and the whole anti-bullying thing is so much a self-esteem issue. You know, if they don't feel good about themselves, they make somebody else feel worse to make themselves feel better.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so it's kind of that vicious circle, because the, you know, that little voice in their head says you shouldn't have done that. And so then, of course, they feel bad again and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, when you work with them to show them, you know, there are great things about you and really raise that self-esteem level, you're right. Then the bullying goes away.
Right. And then that's the biggest focus for me is I'm not promoting it as anti-bullying, because
right.
that can have like a little bit of a stigma mm-hmm. with the bullying. Mm-hmm. I want mm-hmm. it to be where prior to them bullying, we're incorporating the skills needed to be successful, not only on the court, but in life. And then that way they create good habits as opposed to have to break bad ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and obviously, especially in sports, there is kind of that fine line between teasing and, you know, and actually bullying, because and of course it's different with boys and girls, because girls don't really tend so much to say some of the things that boys do. But it is one of those things where, you know, you do kind of talk a little smack, you know, and some things like that. But there are definitely times when you cross the line.
Right. Oh, that's without a doubt. And the best part about it is that, you know, when you really grasp the concept of how the mind works, you can kind of you can talk the smack. You know, growing up, I did it all the time. And mm-hmm. But the thing was that nowadays, it's people get offended. And it's, right. Oh, that guy, you know, he said something wrong to me. It's like, when I was growing up, I didn't like what he said. I went after you on the court. I took it to you. And I wasn't going to stop till I beat you. And that was the mindset. But that, nowadays, that doesn't exist. Now everyone's, oh, well, I'm offended. And this and we're turning into a very soft generation going forward. And that's what's scaring me. And I've mm-hmm. actually coined it in you know, my own little way, Generation E, which stands for entitlement.
Right. Right. Well, and it's funny, there's a book that I have that I got years ago, and I do read it, you know, reread it, oh, every several years, and it's called Play Like a Man, Win Like a Woman. And it's a very interesting concept because it talks about the fact that growing up, boys, you know, and so we're talking, you know, youth,
right.
Boys play a lot of team sports. And, you know, and girls, now this is, you know, obviously changing with you know, millennials and people like that. But girls do a lot of individual things. You know, they go off in the corner, they play with their dolls, you know, they read, they do whatever. But they in a lot of cases don't do a lot of team sports. So they don't learn how to be a part of that team. But then, it you know, this book and this, you know, one of the things I love about it is the fact that it talks about when a man, you know, or a boy lose, you know, they can just really go at each other on the court or in the workplace. And then when it's done, they go out for a beer. Right. You know, they're like, okay, well, that was that. This is this. And girls and women, and, you know, obviously we're generalizing here, but they might smile sweetly. They might say, oh, hi, you're my friend. But then that's where that word frenemy comes
right,
in.
Sure.
You know, girls and women will remember forever, you know, and they, you know, in a lot of cases tend to hold that against people.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. And I mean, I'm definitely going to pick that book up. I've never heard of it. I definitely want to read that. And it's 100% correct. I mean, but the thing is, nowadays, if you look at sports, you know, especially professional sports, you know, these guys are hugging before games and
right.
during games, they're smiling and stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. There's no competitive nature anymore. And that's mm-hmm. That's where the Generation E comes in, because they're just, it's more of a, you know, you have guys like LeBron James leaving, you know, his team to go play with a super team. And
right.
then you have Kevin
right.
Durant doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Rather than Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all these guys, they would have never done that. They
right.
No way. I'm. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I'm not joining with you. I want to beat you. And that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, that I'm a huge college sports fan. So I'm Pac-12, University of Colorado. And, you know, not long ago, we had all the bowl games and all of that stuff. And I was not happy when Christian McCaffrey said he wasn't going to play in the bowl game. Now, I understand from a personal perspective, he wants, you know, he's turning pro, doesn't want to get hurt, all of those various things. But at the same point, he let his team down.
Right.
You know, and it is, it's a fine line. And it was, you know, when I was listening to a lot of the sports talk radio, they were saying, now the weird part is, of course, the coaches are the first example of that jump ship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, how many times do we go into bowl season with a temporary coach?
Right.
Because, you know, and all those things. So it's that whole culture is just bizarre,
right.
You know, and or, you know, in basketball in college, you've got the one and done mm-hmm. players, and they're only there just to meet the requirement because NBA won't let them,
right.
you know, and so you're right. They're not learning to be that team player.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have to be very self-efficient too. So, you know, there is kind of that odd combination.
Right. And that's exactly right. And that's why it's important, you know, to you know, get these kids to understand from an early age how the mind works and how they can create a lifestyle for themselves where, you know, mm-hmm. yes, it's for yourself, but in the same breath, it's got to be bigger than you.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's what's missing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you see when, you know, groups have alumni get togethers and again, we're talking sports things, you know, where the alumni come back and it is something that is, you know, ingrained in them is that's their family. And, you know, and it is kind of weird when you've got those that have gone off just to make money. And, you know, again, it's tricky, you know, especially when you're a college player, because there is a very finite period of time that they can make
mm-hmm.
money. And I understand totally that they're thinking, you know, I can always go back and get my college degree, but, you know, I don't want to risk getting hurt and, you know, all of those various things, but they are losing the team aspect.
Right. It's a catch-22 for them. And that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't fault a kid for taking advantage of making money, just like you or I, if a situation came up where we can make, you know, millions upon millions of dollars.
Right.
And me say, well, no, I'm just going to stay here for a while. Well, then that would be silly. So I understand from a financial standpoint, you know, these kids taking care of their families and things of that nature. But in the same breath, it's tough because, you know, they lose that sense of team. But see, the difference is if they were to develop these skills earlier, there might be a different approach to it. There might be a different, you know, feeling towards what's going on, as opposed to just, oh, let me just jump ship. You know what I mean? And especially the coaches. You know, the thing with college sports is that, you know, if a player decides to leave the school because he's not playing or whatever it is, he can't just play the next season. He has to sit out. Meanwhile, the coach could just up and leave and get the next job. So it's they're not setting an example. There's there's no one setting the example for the kids to say, hey, listen, you need to stick to this, because there's no penalties for the coaches leaving.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of the coaches, it's got to be very difficult for them in the recruiting process, you know, especially when they're recruiting those extremely high level athletes and they know that they're not going to have them for their full college career, you know, the 5-ish years. You know, do they want them to play so that, and is it, I think it's Kentucky that has so many that are one and done, or, you know, some of those other teams. So they do really well, but then they have to start over. You know, and so that's got to be really rough on coaches.
Oh, it has to be. And you know, but in the same breath, the kid who's getting recruited has to ask himself, I like this coach a lot. Is he going to be here? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it works for both ends. You know, the coach has to worry about the kid being there, and the kid has to worry about the coach being there. So, you know, you can't tell a kid, no, you can't make money if it's available to him. And you can't tell the coach you can't make money. But in the same breath, there's a lack of sports. So you have to try to find a happy medium, which I don't know if it exists, honestly.
I know. You know, it's just, especially when you're talking about millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, things were very different even just 20 years ago, you know, when you had your superstars, but that was a very limited number. And now there's just so many of them, you know, and then you add in the European leagues and all of those various things. And I mean, you know, it gets very confusing for those kids.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, there's so many opportunities, but yet, see, the thing is that with this generation, the way, like I was speaking about them being entitled, a lot of these kids, if they don't make it to the NBA, which 99.999% of them they think that, oh, well, I'll just go overseas and play. And it doesn't work that way either. You know, overseas, it's so competitive. I work with agents and, you know, scouts and stuff, and it's so competitive over there, more so here, because, you know, and you have all these people coming in from all over the world. You know, you have, you know, if you go into a different country overseas, you have to fight with the people who are already there, and you have to fight with, you know, the you know, the restrictions of being, you know, out of state on visas or whatever it is. And there's so much that you have to fight through. So it's not like you could just pick up and say, hey, I'm going to play overseas. And that's it. I have one of the players I've trained years ago. He's playing overseas now. He's in France and he's killing it. He's doing absolutely amazing. You know, he's making, you know, tremendous amounts of money. He's a god out there. They have billboards of him in the supermarkets. He's like a god out there. But he's the rare case. It's not like they, you know, he's the one who has been playing since he's 9 years old and has done the right things and followed the right path mentally, where he works on his mind, not just his game.
Well, and, you know, this ties back into the business world, too, because you are a team in your business, you know, and now, you know, granted, a lot of the people who listen to our radio program are entrepreneurs and small business owners. So they think they're by themselves, but they're not. You know, you still have a network and you know, business associates and people like that. But, it, you know, it's rough in business because you obviously want to succeed with whatever it is that you're doing, because you might have a family you're feeding, you know, you have a mortgage to pay, all those various things. But, you know, we've all worked with the people who clearly have their own agenda and, you know, and really don't care about their coworkers at all. And, you know, that never really works out.
Oh, no, it absolutely doesn't. And, you know, the biggest thing with my book is that even though it has a huge basketball undertone, when you, I actually say this in the, at the end of the book, once you read it, you understand that it has nothing to do with basketball. It's about developing the mind and developing how you approach life. So for business, I mean, you know, the business, it's the same thing. Like all the things that I teach, that's why the message that I'm trying to promote, not only, not even so much with the anti-bullying, you know, but with the personal development, it's all something that anybody in any industry can use. It's just a matter of figuring out the skills aspect of it. What skills you need. Like, you know, with the book, I use the foundation, you know, the backdrop of building a house. And using the foundation you know, if I go in to speak to a corporation, all I have to do is ask them what the foundation, what are the three top things that your company needs every single employee that walks through this door to have. And then I can just tailor my speech around that, because the personal development stays the same. That doesn't change. No matter if you're you know, you're 10 years old or you're 60 years old, 70 years old, that doesn't change. If you follow the right, you know, process and the right formula, so to speak, of how to develop your mind and control the things that go through your mind, then, you know, you're that much ahead of everybody else, because most people don't take that time to work on their mind.
Right. Well, speaking of your book, the title of it is called Go Prove Something, A Basketball Player's Guide to Legally Using PEDs. Okay, now before everybody panics, we don't mean performance-enhancing drugs. Tell us what you mean by PEDs.
Well, that actually came to me. I'm very big with acronyms. And Go Prove Something, the title, is actually the name of my company, and it's GPS Lifestyle, and it stands for Go Prove Something.
And GPS, of course, is about guidance and all of those various things also.
Exactly. So when someone thinks of GPS, what do they think of? They think of navigation. They think of a starting point. They think of, you know, turn-by-turn directions. They think of, you know, a final destination. But they also think about recalculating. And that's what life is. So that's why it kind of, you know, made sense for me to use that. And I also, if you've seen the logo, it's the interstate shield that people use to drive. So I actually got approval from the organization who – you know, created the shield to use it for my logo, so which that was pretty cool. But PEDs in my world, and I believe in the world of every successful person, stands for performance enhancing decisions.
Right.
And I think that decisions are the thing that basically control your life. I mean, and that goes back to Tony Robbins saying that, you know, your decisions are your life, and it's 100% true. The reason why I put it with the acronym the way I did is because I wanted people to be like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
Legally using PEDs.
Right. Exactly. Just to get people to like say, what the heck is he talking about? You know, but that's really, it's when you break it down, you know, to the simplest form, once you grasp the concept of how your mind works, it's the decisions that you make. And every decision you make, does it enhance your performance? Does it get you closer to where you want to go? Or is it a detriment? Does it take you away from where you want to go?
You know, and it's about that self-talk to yourself. You know, are you thinking negative thoughts or are you thinking positive thoughts? And it's funny because we tend to go negative. I mean, you know, that's just kind of human nature. There's only so many Pollyannas in the world. And you really talk about how to change that. So why is it so important that, you know, even before you get out of bed in the morning, that you start that thought process?
Well, the biggest thing, you know, and I go into this, I have a series that I'm working on right now called the Great Pyramid of Personal Growth. It's available on YouTube. I'm through part four of six right now.
Cool.
And what it goes through is using the backdrop, I guess, or the structure of a pyramid to understand, you know, how life works and how personal growth works. And starting off with awareness being the floor, you know, you can't change anything if you're not aware of it. If you don't know what's going on, you can't change it. And then the first side of the pyramid, which I use, is focus. You know, if you're focused on something, what you're focusing on is going to change everything. So if you're focusing on all the negative, so say you get up in the morning and you get out of bed and you stub your toe. Oh, God, oh, no, oh, man, now I'm going to be late. And you go into your closet and there's a stain on the shirt you were going to wear. Oh, no, now I have to hurry up. Then you go and you miss the you miss the train by a minute or two. And, oh, now I'm going to be late. And you just start the snowball effect.
Right.
And that's how
– and negative attracts negative.
Of course. Of course. And I actually use that comparison in my book using a magnet. You know, a positive positive attracts positive and negative attract negative. You can put one magnet together with the positive and it all connects. And same thing with the negative. But if you put negative and positive together, they repel each other. So there's no way for you to be negative and positive at the same time. So the thing is that when people grasp how they focus on things and then they get into the language, then they start talking to themselves. They start saying, oh, man, this day is going to be horrible. I have the meeting with this client. What am I? Oh, it's going to be horrible. And that's what their body's language is going to be like. And that's when the third part of the pyramid comes in, which is the posture, how you're carrying yourself, how you're, you know, your posture. Are your shoulders back? Are you confident? Or are you drooping your shoulders? You know, is your breathing shallow? It all comes into play based on starting off with being aware, your focus and your language.
Right. You know, and it is kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be bad. We're going, you know, in basketball, we're going to lose, you know, all of those races. Then you do. You know, it just happens that way.
That's 100% right. And that's why it's so important, like, you know, getting with these kids early, but even more so for the adults now, because adults – you know, the things with kids is they're open. You know, if they don't have bad habits, we can create good ones.
Right.
With adults,
right.
It's a lot more difficult because they've been beaten down. They've been, you know, they've went after their goals and they failed. And they didn't have the wherewithal to keep going and understanding that, you know, you're right there. You just have to keep holding on a little bit longer until it happens. And the thing with adults is that if they can grasp this concept, that's why this works for corporations and, you know, schools and all type any type of industry, because it's getting back to the basics of understanding how the mind works again. And if you can grasp that and you can start, you know, it's not easy. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying I never have negative moments and I never feel bad. Of course you do. But it's about not staying there. It's about getting those thoughts in your head and then getting them out. And then focusing on all the good stuff and talking to yourself properly and talking to others properly too. The way you talk to people, you know, if you have a manager or a supervisor saying to you, oh, well, you know, you stink. You're never going to do this. Why even bother? As a, you know, as opposed to someone saying, you know, oh, you know what, let's figure out how we can get this done together at the time we need it. It's a totally different conversation, but it's a matter of how you speak. And if you're portraying that negativeness, then they're going to respond to you that way. If that makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's like you, whatever you, you know, put out, people are going to give you back.
Yeah, there's those studies that show that if you mimic someone's behavior, they tend to connect with you more. So if, say, you're at a networking event and they're standing with, you know, the one hand in a pocket and, you know, the other hand holding a beverage, if you mimic that and you mimic their tone of voice and all these various things, they connect with you better. And, you know, and the, you know, dating sites also talk about that, you know, and which I find, you know, just very entertaining. But it is kind of true. You know, when somebody starts to mirror your behavior, you subconsciously go, oh, you know, they're like me.
Oh, that's 100% true. And the thing with that is I think the term, I think they call it mirroring, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But it's 100% true because people like to be around people like them. You know, someone, you know, that's why when I was in network marketing years ago, I learned a great concept, which I'm actually going to incorporate into my next book. That it's called, you have three types of people. You have your reds, your greens, and your blues, right? Mm-hmm. And your reds are the people who are above you, who you want to aspire to be. Your greens are your people who are like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the blues who are the people below you, who aren't on your level. And most people just tend to stay within the greens because they feel comfortable. But, you know, any time you want to be successful, you want to try and reach for the next level. The problem, though, is that the people on the next level who are the reds, they want to associate with the reds. So they want to stay with people like them. So for you, in order for you to break into that circle, so to speak, you have to do, speak, act, be who you want to be and who you want to be around as opposed to who you are. Now, that could put – you know, that's where the problem comes in with the people who are like you. As you start to grow, it's kind of like the crab in the barrel mentality.
They try and draw you back.
Right. They try to say, oh, no, what are you trying to do that for? I've dealt with that, you know, my whole life with family. No, what do you mean? Why are you doing that? Just get a good, safe, secure job. You know, just why are you trying to do that? No, that's not realistic. And that's the worst word I can't stand is realistic. Because who's to say what's realistic or not? It wasn't realistic for anyone to run a four minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. And then everyone did it. So it's you know, that's kind of like the concept of how people just try to hold back. But if you grasp the concept of what these people are doing, like you study these people, you read about them, you listen to them about what they do, and then you try to emulate what they're doing to get to that level, that's how you grow. You know, and you have to make sure it's the person that you want to do. You don't just follow anyone. You follow people who are, you know, who you're aspiring to be, so to speak, or to be like.
Right. There's a meme that I see fairly often on Facebook that I love. It says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Exactly.
And it's funny because our ego wants us to be the smartest person in the room. But realistically, it's going to help our ego even better to better ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's what people don't grasp the concept. Because most people, you know what it is? I've figured out too is that most people want to just fit in. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to, you know, go put themselves out on a limb. But that's the only way you become successful if you do that. You know, when I was writing my book, you know, it's not a bestseller as of yet. That's the goal. But as I was writing my book, I wrote my book. My son, my wife and I adopted him. We took him home from the hospital a little over 3 years ago in November. And once he was born and I started getting scared for what his life is going to be like in 18 years. And then I started really focusing on the book. I had everything done with it. You know, I had the outline done and this and that. And I didn't really, but I wasn't really pushing it. And then I started to, you know, really hit it hard. You know, I would be feeding him in the middle of the night and, you know, writing it on my phone and, you know, doing it, transferring it to Google Docs and then transferring it to the Mac and then transferring it to Word. And all these things I did, I would do it on the bus whenever I could. And I put forth that effort because I wanted to create something that was different, that that wasn't out there and that I could contribute. And that's what's missing, you know, and it's sad because most of these people don't take into account what they can do. If they just put their mind to it, they make it a priority. And that's, I think, is because of the culture, you know, that we live in where they get beat down, but they don't get back up.
Well, and it's scary. I mean, you know, you don't want to make those leaps and get smacked down, you know, whether it's asking for a promotion or starting your own business or, you know, becoming an elite athlete. It is much more comfortable to, as you said, just kind of go along. And so it does take kind of that leap of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to get out of this rut.
Oh, without a doubt. And then, you know, I think the quote goes, you know, leap and grow your wings on the way down or something like that.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, you know, most people won't take that jump. They won't take that leap. And, you know, and with good reason. I mean, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, you know, what I've learned over the years is, you know, now with a family, you know, with my wife and my son, you know, I'm not in a position where I can just, you know, live in my car if I wanted to get things done that I needed to get done. So Jim Rohn had a great quote, and he says, you work full time on your job and part time on your fortune until your fortune meets or exceeds your current level of income and you feel comfortable leaving. And that's what I think most people won't do. You know, they're not willing to put that time in because they don't think they'll be able to create enough or create what they want, you know, with the lifestyle that they want. With you know, putting it all on them, so to speak. You know, they'd rather have – and what's more scary, and I just read a quote, I think it was on Facebook, Warren Buffett, I think it was, and he said, people say it's risky being an entrepreneur. He said – he goes, it's risky working for someone for 40 years and then trying to live on Social Security.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, one of the things that I like in your book is you talk about the fact that we fail, you know, and that just happens, you know, and – but of course, the key is to learn from those failures.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the thing is that most people, you know, they don't grasp the concept that you're going to fail more times than you're going to succeed. You know, Michael Jordan, I think I put it in the book, if I'm not mistaken, but he said he's failed more times in his life than he's succeeded. You know, missed the wide open shot time and time again, but it's because of those things that he became successful. You know, he was cut from his varsity basketball team when he was a sophomore, and he cried and cried and cried, and he could just say, oh, well, the coach is horrible, I'm going to transfer this. He didn't. He fought back. He made it, and the rest, as they say, is history. Right. But the thing is that people don't grasp the concept. Like, the problem with people is that they think that problems are the problem, if that makes sense.
Right.
They don't realize that the problems, you know, Tony Robbins has a great quote. He says, they have a place for people with no problems. It's called the cemetery. You know, problems are a sign of life. It's a way for you to grow and try to figure things out. But most people just dwell in the problem and not try to find the solution to it.
Well, and, you know, again, it's human nature in many ways to do that. But it is also human nature to try and better ourselves. And, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, that's where sports comes back into that. And you know, it can also be music or, you know, whatever it is where, you know, you know, let's use music, you know, so you've got a piano piece that you're trying to learn, you know, you're a little kid, you've got a recital coming up. The only way you're going to learn it is to keep doing it over and over again. And then when you have it down good, you keep trying to make it better. And, you know, that's one of the things that you talk about in your book is the fact that sometimes when we are at that, okay, we've got it down point, we skip to something else and we lose those fundamentals and those basic things because we stop practicing them.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm huge on fundamentals and, you know, getting, you know, mastering the mundane, so to speak. You know, most people don't want to do that. They want to, you know, it's like, let's use exercise as an example. Most people don't want to, you know, do the basic exercise to develop your core. Say, so for example, you know, doing planks and things of that nature and, you know, things to stabilize your body. They don't want to do that because it's not exciting. It's not fun.
Right.
But if they did that and they worked on that consistently, it gets easier and easier. It improves your body. And then you can, you know, grow to the more exciting exercise. But they want to use, you know, the ab ball and swing it back and forth. And
right. We want the quick
fix. Right, exactly. And that doesn't exist. And that's what people don't grasp the concept of, that the you know, the instant gratification doesn't work.
Right.
It worked for a little while. You'll feel good for a minute. But then after that, you know, you'll go to the gym. You'll do that thing. Oh, your abs will be sore. You'll think you're great. But it didn't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and you know, diets are one of those things that we, you know, is probably the best example. We want that quick fix. So you take that pill, you go on the crash diet, you do whatever, and you might lose those 5, those 10 pounds, you know, whatever it is. But then they come back. And, you know, because you didn't get rid of those unhealthy habits, whether it's not exercising, not eating right, you know, doing all of those things. And, you know, I always love it when the commercials are on. And, you know, after the first of the year is always, you know, you've got a lot of the diet commercials. And, you know, and it's saying, you know, take this pill and lose 15 pounds in 12 days and blah, blah, blah. And then in tiny little print, it says, and maintain an exercise program and eat well and blah, blah, blah. Because they don't want you to know that. They just want you to think, oh, if I buy that pill... Right. And take that pill, everything's gonna be solved.
Exactly right. I mean, that's the way most people approach everything in their lives, not just with diet, but they look for that quick fix. They look for that, you know, that quick, you know, client, so to speak, or they look for that quick customer that's gonna, you know, propel them. And it doesn't work that way. You have to build up to that. You have to make sure that you're, you know, presenting your product or your service the right way to the person who's giving you that shot initially. You know, if you just push them to the side, say, ah, he's not giving me a lot of money. It's not about the money. It's about the value that you're adding to someone's life with what you're offering. You know, with my programs or my book or whatever it is, what value am I giving someone? Are they? I'm not just trying to sell books. I'm trying to change lives and create lives for people going forward. Now, you know, I think that if you follow what your passion is, then eventually the money will follow. But if you're just solely focused on the money, you know, you might make it right off the bat and you'll see it, you know, like a lot of these brokers and stocks and stuff like that and, you know, investments. But when push comes to shove, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, is it going to be something sustainable? Some yes, some no. But it depends on where their focus is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to come back to the fundamentals aspect because I think so many people miss that. And you know, in business, maybe it's that you're, you know, reading a book every week about marketing or, you know, you're networking or you're doing all those things. You know, those things that you have to do in order to have a good business. And again, you know, sports is the great analogy for that because the fundamentals aren't flashy. They're not going to get you on ESPN. They're not going to catch the attention of the recruiter, but without them, you're not going to do any of those things. And one of, you know, I mentioned Pac-12, of course, my team is University of Colorado. And several years ago, the men's basketball team, oh, they were horrific at foul shots. I mean, they could not hit a foul shot for anything. And I mean, free throws, hello, you know, nobody's guarding you, all that. That should be something that is a given anytime somebody steps up. Well, you know, NCAA rules, you can only practice X number of hours a day and all those things. And so the coach actually mentioned that they never practiced free throws because of the time, you know, they had to be practicing other things and doing things. And so he relied on the kids to do it on their own. And, you know, and you talk about this in your book with Michael Jordan and things like that. The kids who would hang out afterwards or come early and stand there and shoot 300 free throws, 1,000 free throws. Those were the kids who knew what they were doing. And, you know, and they were the ones that went on to those next levels. The ones who went, oh, well, coach doesn't, you know, this is on our own, so it's not important, so I'm not going to do it. They were the ones who never hit those shots.
Well, that's exactly the right thing. I mean, when you have people who aren't willing to put forth the effort to the fundamentals, you know, then that's a serious problem, not only with sports, but with, you know, an organization in general. You know, there's, you know, like when you go into an organization, a law firm or whatever it is, and you're sitting down and this is your career, this is what you're doing, and you're not taking the time to learn the basics of what you need to do because it's just, oh, it's boring. And or someone will tell you, you know, you hear it all the time, like, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. Well, yes, I do. I want to learn everything so I know what I'm up against. But you have people who've been there, you know, for so many years, and this is the way we do it. This is the way we do it. And no, it doesn't have to be that way. But you have to be, you know, have the, I guess, mindset of, you know what, I'm going to learn the basics and I'm going to continue to learn, make sure I'm not missing anything because that's going to set you up going forward. You know, all the people who were, you know, the top people in different companies, huge organizations, they didn't just get there because they just took a quick fix. They did, you know, they took it as serious as possible. You know, you walk into an organization and there's people like, oh, look at this guy, this company guy, or, you know, whatever it is, because they're focusing and taking, you know, taking charge of their position. They're not just looking at it as a job. They're looking at it as a career and a way to enhance what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem is that people don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, it's sports.
Yeah, because it isn't glamorous. It isn't sexy, you know, and it's time consuming. But, you know, people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and, you know, Warren Buffett, they do all, or, you know, did, as in the case of Steve Jobs, they do all of those fundamental things, whether it's reading, you know, a newspaper for an hour every day or, you know, all of those things that seem to be a, and I'm putting this in my little air quotes, waste of time. Right. The successful people do them.
Right. Right. I read a book years ago. I think it was The 1 Minute Millionaire. I don't think if you've ever heard it, with Robert Allen.
Right.
And one of the things that they said in that book, if I'm not mistaken, was people who, the millionaires, the people who are successful, they'll take an extra, you know, minute or two to review their receipt right after they purchase something to check for any errors or, you know, anything. And it's like, wow, it's like, you know, that's to me, when I first read that, I was like, wow, that's pretty mind blowing. Because you know what, you know, my wife and I now we adopt that kind of mindset. Like, while we're ringing things up at the register, we're making sure the price that we saw on the shelf is the same price that comes up. And there's times we've been like, no, whoa, hold on, that didn't ring up the right price, you know. And it might have only been 20 or 30 cents, but
if that's 5 or 6 times, that starts adding up.
Exactly. So that's what people don't grasp the concept is. It's the little things that you need to just focus on that will really get you to that next level.
And, you know, in your book, you talk about it's the shooting free throws. It's the making layups. It's doing, you know, all of those things that really do seem blah and boring, but that creates that strong foundation.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, especially with basketball, you know, the fundamentals that I speak about in the book are, you know, layups and defensive posture and ball handling. Mm-hmm. To me, those are the biggest keys, because these are things that, you know, when's the last time a coach said, let's work on our defensive posture? You know, you know, you work on ball handling, you know, sometimes, but, you know, layups, who works on layups? You know, but the thing is that these are the most important things that you have to focus on. And if you're not working on those, you know, and I understand that, like you said, with the time restraints with coaching. So you know what? As a player, when you go home or you go to the gym, work on these things. Work on them yourself. Right. But that's where, you know, the entitled mentality comes in, as we get back to that, because they think that, oh, well, I don't need to work on that stuff. I'm the starter. Well, these are the guys that need to work on it even more, because they need to set the tone for the rest of the team.
Well, and you talk a lot in your book about Michael Jordan, who, you know, I think is probably indisputable the best basketball player.
Agreed.
And, you know, there are some that have done better stats, you know, all of those various things. But his big thing was, of course, mental. And I love that you talk about that he didn't practice, he trained.
Exactly.
And for him, practice was just as important as that last game of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, and he treated it that way. And his teammates did not like that.
They did not, because he treated the practice as if it were game 7. He gave his all. He would dive on the floor, because there's no proverbial switch for you to just turn on when the game's on the line. And that's what the great players, the truly great players, you know, the superstars, they train. They don't practice, you know. Like, it goes back to Allen Iverson years ago talking about practice. We're talking about practice, you know. And in a way, I agree with him, because most NBA teams don't train. They practice.
Right.
You know, they just go through the motions, and you can see it because of the way they play. You know, but when you're training, you know, you're training, you're trying to accomplish something by doing it.
Right. And you're trying to better yourself. Exactly. I think that's maybe the difference, is practice, you're just doing something over and over again.
Right.
Training is, you've set a goal of, you know, you're going to make 100 free throws. Well, then tomorrow the goal is 125.
Right.
And tomorrow, you know, and those things. So that's where you're training.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And that's the thing that most teams, and even businesses, like, you know, I still don't grasp the concept why sales organizations, like people who are focused on sales, why they don't focus more on role playing. And doing things of that nature, you know, where they go into a room. And, you know, when I was a broker, we would do that. We would go into the room, you know, and practice pitching the stock. And, you know, we'd have the horrible client. We'd have the client who was, you know, nice to us. Or then we'd have the in-between. But we would focus on the bad, because we'd try to, you know, find a way to rebut it. Mm-hmm. And that's what sales don't, you know, a lot of sales organizations, I haven't heard that they actually focus on role playing. And not even that, but just how about on your own taking a sales course, or on your own reading books about how to, you know, close properly, or different, you know, Jordan Belfort, you know, from The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, that guy, for everything he's done, I mean, his system is fantastic, you know, for training sales. And most people wouldn't even take a look at it Why? Because of what he did. You know, people don't understand. You have to look behind the scenes of what was going on. Yes, he did some bad things, but the system he had, if used properly and ethically, is mind-blowing. Right. But people won't take the time to really put that into play. And it, you know, it's the same thing like with personal development. You have all these different programs out there, Tony Robbins, Les Brown, you know, Zig Ziglar, all these great programs, but they don't work unless you do them and you take them seriously. Right. And most people, you know, they'll you know, bat an eye to the, personal growth and, personal development. Yeah, that's not going to help me. I need to get my sales up or I need to sell things. No, but if you're not developing yourself, then people will see that. They don't buy the product, they buy you.
Right. And, you know, I love that in your book, you the analogy is building the house. You've got the foundation, you've got the frame, you've got, you know, the essential systems, all of those things. And it's so true because it all has to tie together. You know, you can't have a house, you know, you can't spend, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on a cool roof if your foundation is bad or if your wiring is going to catch fire. You know, all of those things, they do all tie together.
Right. And that's why I used that idea of building a house, because no matter how old you are, I think you can understand the basics of building a house. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't put the roof on before the frame is done. You know, you can't, you know, decorate the inside until all your systems are in, all your wiring is done, all your plumbing is done, and everything is enclosed. There's no way to do it. You know, and it doesn't make sense to, you know, design your outside, because what's going to happen when you have your trucks coming up and all your materials, it's just done. So it's all of a process to show from starting from, you know, step one, you know, all the way to the end. But then at the end of the book, using the concept of adversity, because, you know, after everything is done and you feel good and you're ready to go, something happens. You know, in regards to a house, you know, you'll have a storm, something will happen with the roof, or, you know, something will happen, you know, if there's a crack in the foundation, that means that you didn't do it right from day one. But it's about how you deal with it, because you're going to be hit with adversity. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
So when everything is going great, boom, then you get hit. And that in sports, that's an injury. That's, you know, a setback. Mm-hmm. That's getting cut. Mm-hmm. It's how you deal with it. And that's the last chapter of the book where I kind of bring it all together and make you understand, like, you know, it's not about getting to that level, but it's, you know, you ever see the movie Rocky Balboa where he said it's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. You know, and that's what it's about, because you're going to get hit. You're going to get knocked down. Things are going to happen. How do you deal with it and how do you move forward? That's the key.
Well, and of course, with a house, it is ongoing. You know, there's continual maintenance. There's, you know, all these various things that you have to keep doing in order to keep the house looking the way you want it to.
Oh, exactly. And that's how life is. You know, you don't just build a house, say, oh, well, you know, I'm never going to have to replace the roof, or I'm never going to have to repaint, or I'm never going to have to change, you know, there might be a crack in the steps or the cement. You're going to have to redo it, whatever it is. But even just the general maintenance of keeping it up, keeping it clean, you know, cleaning the house, you know, getting rid of all the, you know, the dust and cleaning out the, you know, the ventilation system and all the vents, because, you know, things build up. It's like you're saying, it's an ongoing process, and so is your life, and so is building your life. That's why, you know, if you slack on the fundamentals, you take a shortcut, you're setting yourself up for failure for everything else, because all the pressure that you're putting on that foundation, using the, you know, the reference of a house, and then using the reference of your life, the foundation you're building, you're putting all that weight of the world on it, and eventually, if it's not proper, it's going to crack.
Right. You know, and whether that's mental, you know, and we talked about, you know, pity parties and things like that, or also physical. I mean, you know, if you there is that saying, treat your body like a temple. You know, if you continually just have junk food and you know, you don't exercise and all those various things, your body will fail.
Oh, of course it will. And you know, they say, you know, I guess the computer analogy is garbage in, garbage out. It's the same thing with your body. If, you know, if you just continuously, you know, put a perfect example is a car. You know, you can fill your gas tank with, you know, gas, or you can fill it with water. And if you fill it with water, it might run for a little bit, getting through, but then eventually it's going to break down. And it's the same thing with your body. You know, if you're putting, like you're saying, junk food in, that's all you're going to get out. And the same thing is with your mind. If you're putting in negative, and you're putting in, you know, anger and fighting, that's what's going to come out. So it's this, you know, that's why the analogy works, you know, building that foundation, because everything comes together that way. You know, I heard a great quote years ago, and it said, your body is a temple, like you just said, and said, it's time to renovate.
Right. Well, and you also talk in your book about the fact that, you know, it's okay to do fun stuff too. You know, this isn't all serious. So, you know, you can have, you know, the analogy of the house. You've got the great big screen TV when you really didn't need one, but you know what? It makes you feel better. Or, you know, you eat the Big Mac on occasion, or, you know, in sports, you know, you do something that's fun, because we do need that fun. You know, we can't be that serious person all the time.
Oh no, absolutely. You have to. I mean, that's what the reason why you do the things you do is so you can appreciate and have the fun when you want to. You know, if you're doing the right things, like say for eating throughout the week, then why can't you have that, you know, that burger or that pizza on the weekend? Well, you're sure you've earned it. But the thing is that most people don't want to do the work beforehand. They want to just be able to eat that all day long and not put the weight on. Or they want to be able to, you know, just not put that work in on the court or in the boardroom. And then, you know, like say you're giving a big presentation for, you know, your organization. Rather than spend some time practicing it, they'd rather go out and they'll do that. And then when they get the presentation, oh, man. Or like in schooling when they have a, you know, a big test coming up, finals. And rather than studying it a little bit each night, they just wait till the night before and cram. You know, so it's all a matter of how you look at it and what's important to you.
Right. You know, and I think that's something that sometimes gets lost is that you have to prioritize and think about what's important to you and then, you know, adapt around it. And sometimes you might have to completely change. I mean, you know, yeah, I would love to eat junk food all the time. It tastes good and I'm lazy, but not going to happen. You know, if I want to be healthy, then I'm going to have to learn to cook better. And, you know, and on occasion I can go to Dairy Queen and have a Blizzard.
There you go. Exactly. But as long as you're setting yourself up and you know what you're doing, then there's no reason why you can't. But like I said, most people won't put in that time prior to, and they won't take the time to map it out. You know, they won't set their goals of what they're trying to do or anything of that nature. They'll just go with the flow and, you know, and quote unquote fit in, like we've talked about before. Because their friends are going out, they're going to have a few drinks, or they're going to go, and oh, okay, I'll just do it rather than just going out. And you know what? I'll just have a, you know, a club soda, or I'll just have, you know, a diet soda or something. But they have to do the drinking, they have to do the eating, and you know, because they don't want to be made fun of, and they don't want people to say, oh, why don't you just have, you know what I mean? So it's like it's a cycle,
right? Well, and of course, the thing about that is maybe they shouldn't be going out with those people. You know, that's the whole thing is if the peer pressure from them is going to be, you need to drink, you need to do drugs, you need to, you know, whatever. Then hello, you need new friends.
Exactly, that's exactly right, and that's another day, another conversation.
right. You know, but on the positive side, you know, and we have talked about this. If you surround yourself with positive people, then you know it's what we were talking about at the start. You know, positive attracts positive and repels negative. If you're surrounding yourself with positive people, you're going to be positive.
Exactly right. And I mean, you know, I heard a quote years ago. It was one of the best quotes ever. I forget who said it, but it says, you become who you spend your time with. And, you know, you are the top five people you spend your time with. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it happens. You become who you're around. You know, you're a product of your environment, so to speak. But the difference is, if you want to change your environment, you can. And it doesn't have to be a physical environment. I'm talking about the mental environment.
Right. You know, and you know, to bring social media into this, you know, that's where, you know, you have to watch whose posts you're reading and all those various things. And if the only posts, you know, the only friends that you have, and I'm, you know, doing that with
Absolutely.
The capital F as in Facebook friends, you know, if they're just posting negative, horrible, awful stuff, reading that makes things negative, horrible, and awful, you know, and so, you know what, maybe you still have to be friends with them for whatever reason, but you can make their posts not show.
Absolutely.
You know, and I did that an awful lot with political posts, and I didn't care what side it was. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
And so I just hid those posts, and in some cases, I hid them, you know, so I was still connected with them, because they might be a business associate or something like that, but you know, I didn't want to see all of that icky nasty.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. I've definitely unfriended people, and I've definitely not blocked them, but like you said, just so I don't see it, because it doesn't do anything for you. You know, it just doesn't. And that's what people, you know, but the thing is that negativity sells. You know, you walk down the street and you see a newspaper, the back of a newspaper says, oh, it's a beautiful day tomorrow. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. But if you see Storm of the Century coming, pick it up. Oh my God, what's going on? Or, you know, we bombed this person. We do, oh, what's going on? Oh my God. And that's the society we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I tend to not watch the news because the news is 99% negative. And I especially don't want that first thing in the morning, because it's what we talked about. If that starts your day off, then your whole day is going to be like that, you know. And now, you know, do you need news? Yes. You know, you do need to know a bit about what's going on, but I don't need to know every single detail. And then I certainly don't need it over and over again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I very rarely watch the news. I look at it like this. If something big enough, something that big that I need to know about is happening, I'm sure I'll hear about it somewhere else. You know, I'm sure someone will tell me about it, or you'll see it posted or whatever it is, because that's what people do. But other than that, I mean, I'll listen to podcasts, I'll listen to, you know, classical music, whatever it is, but it's just, it doesn't do anything for you.
Well, Anthony, we've got just a couple minutes left. So before we really wrap up, tell people how they find you and connect with you online, and of course, where to find your book.
Absolutely. And thank you again. My website currently is anthonymdrago.com. That's A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-M, as in Matthew, D-R-A-G-O.com. You can get the book on the site. The cover is right there. You can click on it. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, pretty much any online retailer you can get it. As far as social media, you can find me, Anthony M. Drago, on Facebook. Twitter is at Anthony M. Drago. And I also have another Twitter. It's at GPS Lifestyle. So that's the company web company Twitter. And then on LinkedIn, the same thing, Anthony M. Drago. So I make it very easy for people to find me. You know, so anything I can do to help anybody, any of your listeners, I mean, I've listened to a bunch of your episodes. They're fantastic. You're doing a wonderful thing, and I commend you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Bringing, you know, people who are trying to share their message, get their message out there in a positive mindset. I think you're doing a great job getting that out there. So I thank you again as well.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and I want to emphasize again that although your book sounds like it's about sports, and it really, you know, is sounds like it's about youth, it's not. It is a great read for anybody. And I don't care, even if you're a retired person or, you know, a college student, high school student, read the book. It's got great information.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And you know, like you said, it's for anybody. And, you know, I would love to hear feedback, positive or negative. I'm always open to hearing what people think about it. That way I can, you know, adjust it if it needs to be adjusted, or, you know, have a conversation about what they liked or didn't like.
Great. Well, we've got a minute left, Anthony. So what's words of wisdom that you can give us in just a minute that we can leave everybody with for the day?
I believe that mental toughness is like oxygen, and personal development is like oxygen. You don't appreciate it until there's a lack of it. And I think that more people need to focus on their minds and need to put in the effort to develop their minds, as opposed to just going with the flow. And I heard a great quote that I love to live by Henry Ford, and he said, "You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do." So as I tell everybody, go prove something, but to yourself, not to others.
Right, right. Well, this has been great. I've been having a great time talking with Anthony M. Drago. I am Deb Creer, and for everyone out there, have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.